But what is that? Is that the real intro right now?
No. I don't know what this is. This is like a pre-intro. A pre-intro.
Pre-tro.
Let's just roll into it. What's going on, everyone? We haven't done this in so long that we are so awkward. And we are glad you are here listening to it. If you don't remember, it's myself, Rai Chai. It's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. Joined by the one and only MD. MD, man, it's been freaking forever since we've been recording. Are you still alive during this pandemic?
I have thankfully survived. It's been a whirlwind. I traveled to Virginia, got stuck at home. Almost died in my bathroom, almost slipped and fell, you know, from staying at home all the time. Just, it's crazy, but I'm here. I'm alive, excited to talk Lakers again and excited to, get our podcast going again and just share with all of you our lives and our thoughts and everything about us.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it sounds like you are raging through a China shop right now. I'm not sure what's going on the other end over there.
Sorry, but... I poured myself a glass of wine. It's been one of those days of work, as of work.
Well, pour it out, man. Pour it out. And I, for one, am intrigued by the fact that you said you went to Virginia, and yet you almost died in your own bathroom, not in a bathroom of a native, of a foreign state. But it turns out your home is more treacherous, it sounds like.
It is. I feel like bathrooms are dangerous, and even more now so than ever. So much to slip on. You know, you're just this like pandemic mindset where you're just so casual with everything. So I say that I almost perished in my own bathroom because... My wife and I have been quarantining since we got home, and we have this tiny one bedroom upstairs, literally one master bedroom. And in the bathroom, we do a lot of cooking because we share a townhome with two other roommates. And so like boiling hot water in there, cooking in the bathroom, I don't recommend it. It's very dangerous.
I don't think anyone should be cooking in their bathroom. I'm curious. Where do you cook in the bathroom? Are you like on the toilet with the frying pan? Are you boiling water in the shower?
You should come over and you should check it out.
I would love to. I'm very intrigued, but I'm also terrified at the same time.
So we have like a lot of hot water boilers. I don't know what you call them. They're like plastic things. You press the button and boils hot water for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know those existed until my wife showed them to me. I'm used to like, I guess I just grew up in the 1800s, putting a pot over the fire to boil water. That is the only way I knew how to boil water.
You and I both, my friend. I only recently discovered that technology when Wendy and I started living together after getting married. She had this teapot that you pushed a button and it just starts to boil on its own. You don't put the water in a kettle and boil it. So apparently technology is advancing rapidly, and you can cook in your bathroom now. That's how far we've come.
Exactly. You just plug it into the wall, normally where you put your hair dryer, and instead of frying your hair, you fry some ramen up, or you fry whatever you want. It's pretty awesome.
So you could theoretically be in the bathroom taking care of business while also taking care of...
Business.
Yeah. That's like... two types of business taken care of at once. That's efficiency.
Well, that's what COVID has shown me. You know, just being as efficient as possible.
Oh, man. Well, I suppose we should, talk about some basketball, I suppose.
Was this too long? I think the beginning was too long. How long has it been?
5 minutes and 20 seconds.
Is our intro usually this long?
No. Although we haven't, I mean, really been talking for this long once I trim it up, you know, like the first minute and a half was us figuring out if we could hear each other and how do we talk? What is it like to talk to another human?
How do we talk? Yeah. I forgot. I seriously forgot.
Like, yeah, I used to just move my thumbs and that's how I communicated. But now I have to actually activate my vocal cords and move my lips and enunciate. And it's strange.
I'm just happy we're not like face to face on a Zoom call, because then I'd have to actually like wash my face and like.
Nah, let's come on.
Do my hair.
You're lying to yourself. You would not do that if it was you and I talking. Maybe if it was you and a coworker, but I do not think you would actually wash your face just to see me.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That's a testament to our friendship, though.
It is.
Hence why we're recording a podcast together in the middle of a pandemic.
It's the only thing to keep us sane. It's Otherwise, true. I'd be doing business in my kitchen. I mean, in my bathroom. Oh, my goodness.
I should.
Bathroom, kitchen, same thing.
I'm going to intentionally cut out the part where we explained what the business was and that it wasn't anything weird. And that way, when you mention right now that you could be taking care of business in the bathroom, people are going to have to be left to speculate what the heck you're talking about.
I love it. Let's make this like as weird and like mysterious as possible. I don't want anyone to understand us, because one thing I've learned more than ever during this pandemic is, do you really ever know someone? You know, do you really ever understand someone? Discovering so many new things about my wife because I'm spent like 8 months with her straight. Just wake up, don't even go to work, don't do anything. Just work with her next to me, do everything together. It's been great. But it's been also like, wow, discovering new things.
Yeah, true. I think I view people less as human beings now and more of just capsules for antibodies and viruses. Like, instead of like wanting to know what their Wi-Fi password is, I want to know, what's your antibody count? Are you infectious? Will I die from talking to you?
It's so true. Everything is just code to me. It's, do you have COVID or do you not have COVID? That's all you are, either a COVID carrier or a non-COVID carrier. And obviously I want to hang out with the COVID carriers, because I want to build up my immune system so that I don't, you know, I can bite this pandemic off.
And that's why I only hang out with heavy mouth breathers now. You know, I want to make sure that the viral load that I'm receiving is high. I don't want to be wasting time with people who breathe silently through their nose. It's a waste of time.
So I've actually developed a new breathing technique where I literally just like sit next to someone or literally like just put my mouth like as close as possible to their nose and their mouth, whatever orifices they have, and just soak up whatever air and droplets they're leaking so that I can suck in as much of their essence as possible so that I can become a superhuman. Because let's be real, that's what those people are that have these COVID antiviruses. They're superhumans, and I want that, you know? I want to be an X-Man. Don't you? Like, who doesn't want to be an X-Man?
I would love to be an X-Man. I've always dreamed of being one.
Okay, which one would you be?
Like an actual one, I'd probably want to be Cyclops.
Yeah, you want the laser eyes? Yeah, he's a laser eyes guy, right?
Yeah, yes. It's kind of weird when you say laser eyes guy, though. It makes it sound lame. It makes me regret my choice.
Dude, Superman had laser eyes. Cyclops has laser eyes. A lot of cool people had laser eyes.
I just don't like how you're saying it. It sounds very, I don't know. It just sounds like it's some sort of disease or like some condition, like lazy eye, you know? It's laser eyes, like something to be proud of. Like,
yeah,
that guy has laser eyes. Cool. Not,
yeah,
you chose a guy with laser eyes. You know, it's just different.
It's sad, kind of. I see what you're saying. My fault. The inflection in my voice made it sound like I'm disappointed, but I'm actually excited. You have laser eyes. Is that a little better?
That is awesome. Yes. See,
yeah. Dude, laser eyes, bro. Laser eyes.
Indeed.
I'm surprised you picked Laser Eyes over Professor X. Like, I want to be Professor X. And for the sole reason of being in a wheelchair that gets to, like, go everywhere. I don't have to walk ever again. That would be amazing.
Nothing to do with reading minds and being connected to the population of the world.
No, I don't want to be connected to the population of the world. That's why I do a podcast, you know? Stay away from them. If they want to interact with me, they can just listen to my voice on this pre-recorded podcast.
If you want to be in a wheelchair, I can help you get in a wheelchair. And I'm not speaking violently. I mean, we can just go to Walmart and I can sit you down.
But the thing was, his wheelchair was like self-moving. Do you remember the cartoons where it was like that yellow one where it would just move? Like, he didn't need to like push himself.
Yeah, that's true. That is pretty sick.
It was like a hoverboard. It was literally a sitting hoverboard. Like, who does not want that?
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty dope.
I wouldn't want to be bald, though.
Yeah, he's hairless. He has zero hair. Did he even have eyebrows?
I don't remember.
But yeah, I mean, I could see why you'd want to be that guy. I guess legit.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, the NBA season's back. Really hoping you were going to say something there.
It's back. Not yet, though. It's back tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We are recording on the eve of the official return of regular season NBA basketball.
Yeah.
The Lakers play their first game after this long, long hiatus. I wrote down here that the season ended March 11th. That's when the league officially announced that they're going on break to figure out what's going to go on. And we're coming back on July 30th. So that's like 4.5 months of no basketball. And how much wine are you pouring over there?
That's not wine. I was just pouring water into a cup to make it sound like I was pouring more wine.
You're
doing something else because I'm taking care of business. Yeah, taking care of business.
I knew it. I knew it. Couldn't keep you away from that for this long. Anyways, so the season's back. The Lakers and the NBA will be playing their first game in a very long time tomorrow, July 30th, as the season kicks off officially against who else? The LA Clippers. 6 o'clock, mañana. And a little bit of a background, or I guess an update for those of you listening, maybe even you, MD, may not know how this is even going to work once it all gets started up again. There are only 22 teams that are going to be a part of the restart of the season. So normally 30 teams, 8 of them got cut. And I even heard a really awesome name for those 8 teams that didn't make it, the Delete 8. Have you heard that?
I have not. That is a pretty cool name.
Right.
Who is on the Delete 8?
The Delete 8.
What are the teams? It's mostly the East, isn't it?
Correct. So there are 6 teams, and 6 of the 8 are in the East and 2 are in the West. So the way they worked it out, the league, if you were within, I think it was 6 games or fewer behind the 8th seed, as the standings currently were at the time of the break, then you were allowed to come back and, you know, be a part of the reseeding games. So the teams that weren't within 6 games on the East were the Hornets, the Bulls, the Knicks, the Pistons, the Hawks, and the Cavs. And then for the West, there were only 2 teams, which goes to show you how competitive that 8th seed spot was.
Hold on. Let me guess.
Yep.
Warriors?
Yep.
Suns?
No. The Suns were...
Oh, the Suns made it?
Yeah. So the Suns are 6.5 games above this team that did not make it.
Oh, Seattle Supersonics.
No. The Seattle Supersonics aren't even a team, bro.
I know. They've been part of the Delete 8 longer than the Delete 8 app. They're the OG, bro.
I'll give you a big hint. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Uncut gems.
KG.
Yep.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes, sir. So the Warriors and the T-Wolves both are not in Orlando. So that means the teams that are competing for the eighth seed are, there are six teams. The Grizzlies, who are currently in the eighth seed, the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. And really the most competitive of those groups, of those teams are going to be the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Kings. The Spurs and the Suns, I don't think most people expect them to really make it, but there is a lot of competition for who the Lakers are going to be matched up for in the first round. And I think that's kind of, you know, going to be the point. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but so that's going to be the format. There's 22 teams, and there's going to be 8 games that are played during these reseeding games that are starting tomorrow on Thursday. And after these 8 games are done, the seeding, even at that point, isn't completely finalized, because if the 8th and 9th seed are separated by, I believe it's 4 games or fewer, then those two teams are going to play each other. And if the 9th seeded team is able to win 2 times in a row, then they're going to be the quote-unquote 8th seed. But if the 8th seed just wins one of those 2 games, or even just wins the first game, then they're the selected 8th seed. So it's kind of interesting how they're formatting it. They're giving, you know, they're giving people a little, or teams a little bit more of a shot to make it into the playoffs than they normally would. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if there's that wild card type of game that takes place in the East or the West. Will be
interesting. Has like a March Madness-esque vibe to it. I love it.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool. So we'll see how that goes down. So before we get into, you know, previewing the next 8 games and the rest of the season, so on and so forth, let's bring us up to speed a little bit about what's taken place in the offseason for the Lakers. Or I say offseason, during this hiatus for the Lakers, and who they're going to be putting on the floor. You want to kind of talk to that a little bit, MD? I know there's been a couple of additions.
Yeah, of course. So the 2 additions that you and I were talking about earlier were Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. Unfortunately, with the loss of Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley due to injury and opting out of going into the bubble, we've seen these 2 major X factors kind of step in. I have a friend from Cleveland that I was talking to about this, actually, and he was like, oh, you have the West Coast Cavaliers, basically, bringing along those 2 back into the fold. And I was worried. I was worried at first, but actually seeing them in scrimmages, they look really, really good. J.R. Smith looks like he's making right decisions, correct decisions, which is rare. And Deion Waiters too. They've both been exactly what we need. That scoring punch off the bench that we didn't have when LeBron or AD weren't playing.
Yeah, that's a huge part, is the scoring. I don't think we're going to lean on them super heavily, to get points, but they're both guys who don't lack confidence, where they also don't even need to get into a rhythm to start scoring. You know, like with Avery Bradley and with Rondo, those guys are both valuable in their own way, but they're also both guys that, you know, if the ball gets kicked to them in the corner, you're not super confident that they're always going to be like in the right mindset to score. But JR and Deion, those guys love having the ball in their hands, sometimes to a fault, but they're going to be good for scoring for sure. But definitely going to miss Bradley and Rondo, especially Bradley, because Bradley was a huge reason why we even won the last game against the Clippers. Remember, he hit like, what was it, like 6 threes or something like that in that game?
Yeah. Went off. He guarded Kawhi, went against their, or Paul George, guarded their best player for every time he's in. We're definitely going to miss his defense. And even Rondo, his kind of, the way he was able to move the ball and push the ball around, I think we're going to miss that as well within that second unit. But I'm also excited to see Caruso get more playing time. and really take over and lead that second unit. It's his time to shine. So let the Lakers shine. Let Caruso shine.
Heck yeah. The headband crew will be out in full force. And another interesting piece of news that took place before the season started again. Did you hear about Caruso going to his sister's wedding so that he could remain in the bubble?
I did. It was that big of a deal.
What a G. Love that guy.
He knows and understands what's at stake. An NBA championship.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things where he could have totally just gone and then come back and quarantine for a little while and no one would have really been upset with him at all. But it just, I think it proves the type of mindset that he has and, you know, why he is as good as he is. It's because he is able to lock in and is willing to make sacrifices. And obviously you don't expect everyone to have to sacrifice family to that degree, but if he's doing it, you know, this is like a public instance that proves his work ethic. And it just, I'm sure like what's going on behind the scenes is more of that, you know, like he's probably a guy who makes sacrifices and is willing to work harder than most people. And that's why he's as good as he is. And he's proving himself despite having a receding hairline of a 40-year-old.
Despite looking like a 40-year-old. Yeah. He's still, I mean, looks like a 40-year-old. Has the bounce of an 18-year-old. I'll take it.
No kidding. I would gladly exchange hairlines with him if I could have the athleticism that he does. Who cares? So yeah, a little bit of a roster shakeup for the Lakers, but the core pieces are still there. And especially when it comes time for the postseason, you tend to lean not quite as heavily on your bench as you did in the regular season. And you're just sticking with your core guys. And the core guys for the Lakers are in place and healthy. LeBron and AD, obviously. But even like Kuzma and JaVale and Dwight anchoring the backcourt, or I'm sorry, the front court, they're all still there. So we're in good shape. We're in good shape. And then as it pertains to the standings, when the season ended and going into this restart, the Lakers are 5.5 above. 5.5 games above the Clippers. So it's very unlikely that they're going to give up that number one seed. The Lakers are likely going to stay the one seed and just play whoever, you know, wins out the eighth seed. And then on the East Coast, obviously it's still Milwaukee at the top, and Milwaukee, Toronto, and the Celtics rounding out the top three. But the Lakers are in good shape, man. I think, once the playoffs roll around, which, by the way, I'm still super stoked that they're in the playoffs because it's been so freaking long. But once playoffs do start, I think we're going to be having a pretty easy time in the first round, which will be nice, Before we roll into diving a little bit deeper into previewing, MD, anything else you wanted to add with recapping from March all the way until now?
Nothing on the Lakers end other than ball is going to be a problem.
Bol Bol.
Yes.
Yes. Bol Bol is going to be a problem. Hopefully we don't have to play him, anytime soon in the playoffs. I think on the Lakers schedule, they do play the Nuggets once. It's like the second to last game of the restart. They play on August 10th. So it will be interesting to see, but yeah, that dude is freaking long, man. He's good.
He's really good. And I think that's something that, I mean, we can touch on this later, but I was listening to the TNT guys and specifically listening to Chuck and Kenny and Shaq and, you know, our favorite TNT guys. And one of the big points they brought up is because there is no crowd, because there is no like outside forces cheering you. It's just kind of like a TV, a camera crew. It's really more like practice, like a pickup game in a gym. You're going to see players like Bol Bol, or I don't know how to enunciate his name properly. You can correct me later. And a lot of kind of bench players step their game up, and even rookies, because that mental block of, oh man, there's thousands or tens of thousands of people watching me right now is gone. And I think we've even seen that with Ben Simmons. He's shooting threes again. It's this mental block that's going to change the game. And I'm excited to see how it plays out and to really see these bench players and rookies and players come out of nowhere and average 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists.
Yeah, I think we are going to see that happen for a couple of teams because there are players who were probably like on the rise and improving and hadn't quite broken out yet before the season ended and have still been continuing to put in work while things have been on pause, that once things do resume, they're probably just going to start to take off. And it's going to seem like it came out of nowhere for us watching, but for that particular player, they're like, oh, I was, you know, on the rise and I just kept working and now I'm comfortable, you know? Like, I think we're going to see some of those stories. I think Bol Bol is a good example of that. So with that, sir, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll start diving into the specifics of the Lakers' upcoming schedule. All right, we are back. So, MD, as I've mentioned, the Lakers, like every other team, every other of the 22 teams that are in Orlando, have 8 games in this reseeding schedule. And of these 8 games, the Lakers will be playing the Clippers, obviously, their first game once the games start up again, followed by the Raptors, the Jazz, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Pacers, the Nuggets, and then finally closing out with the Kings. The first thing that jumps out to me, MD, is that these teams are all except for one, are above 500. And that's to be expected because obviously the league got rid of the delete 8. And so you don't have that many, you know, really bad teams anymore, with the exception of like a couple of teams in the West still, and then a couple teams in the East. So all these teams are really, really good. So it's not going to be, you know, a walk in the park for these next 8 games. Well, I want to ask you, a good sir, how many of these games do you see the Lakers losing, and to whom?
Easy. 4 games since we're ahead 5.5. So that's a perfect amount of games for us to lose while getting the bench and those new guys integrated with the team, get them more playing time. And I see us losing to the Nuggets, the Thunder, Rockets, and the Pacers.
Okay. So you see them beating the Clippers on their first game then for sure?
Yes. I think they're going to come out hot. I think they're going to come out with something to prove. They know that the Clippers are going to be the team to beat in the West. So they're going to come out. AD and LeBron are going to get a lot of playing time. I definitely see us counting this game as more of a prove-it game than the Clippers do. The Clippers are pretty set in their ways, and I feel like as long as we're able to shut down PG and Kawhi, we're set. Plus, Lou, because he decided to go to an adult entertainment center, isn't playing. So that'll be a big, like, 15, 20 points off the bench that they're not going to have.
Got to get those wings.
I know.
Oh, that guy. I could go off on that, but I will resist. I will resist. Okay, so you think they're gonna split? They're gonna go 4-4 over these next 8.
Yep. Okay. I believe it.
And even with it, sound like on paper that isn't great, but the Lakers can afford to lose games. They're 5.5 up, like we mentioned earlier. So even if they lose 4, they're fine. They're still gonna hold on to the first seed, and they're gonna be able to have a nice matchup with whoever comes out in the 8th seed, which is good. I will predict, good sir, that the Lakers will lose.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you rather have the Lakers be the second seed, though, instead of playing whoever they're set to play? And instead of having this unknown for the 8th seed and potentially facing the Blazers, which you and I just talked about previously that we don't want to face, would you rather have them face the Mavericks, which I feel is a much easier series for the first series?
I wouldn't. Okay, so my reasoning is this. I agree, if it's the Blazers, I'm going to be terrified. And I'm not going to feel fantastic about it. I think the Lakers would ultimately pull it out. But I feel like that could be much more of a longer season than it needs to be if, you know, we were to play like the Grizzlies or even the Pelicans, you know. But I would still rather have the Blazers because they're going to have to play their butts off to even get in to that eighth seed. They may, you know, play these eight games and still have to play, you know, that play-in series where they have to win two straight. So they're going to have to put, you know, a lot of game time, you know, on their core players, and they might be a lot more gassed by the time they actually do play the Lakers. But with that said, I still wouldn't feel great about it because Dame Dalla, we know what he does, and
I know
he's a bad man, and he does things to teams that underestimate him. And I would not want to be on the side of underestimating him, even if it's a one versus eight series. So I would be scared, but I would still want to play them over the Mavericks.
Really?
Yeah, I still would. I still would. The Maverick, I mean, the Mavericks are a better team. They are. I think what we're scared about with the Blazers matching up with the Lakers is them just having that X factor with Dame and McCollum. Like, they can get super hot and have the potential to beat any team when they're in the right groove, you know? But I also think that the Lakers are just on such a higher level than they are that they would still pull the series out. And it might even become easier than what we would anticipate because the Blazers may be, you know, tired and gassed by the time they get to us, because it's not like the regular season anymore where, you know, you have, you know, a 20 game stretch to get into the playoffs and you're playing really hard, but there's also some games where you're playing against like a crap team like the Suns or the Warriors this season. Like, these are all really good teams, and the Blazers are going to have to, you know, play against top competition to get in, and they might be tired by the time they get to us. So I would still take the Blazers, but it would give me nightmares thinking about Dame shooting over J.R. Smith or Dion. So my prediction for the eight games, I think the Lakers will lose against the Thunder, against the Nuggets, and against the Raptors. So I think we're going to go 5-3. And I think the Lakers, to start these eight games, are going to come out really, really hot. I think they're going to win pretty convincingly against the Clippers.
We're going to win Clippers, Raptors, Jazz right away.
Yeah, I want to say we'll win against the Raptors, but I have a feeling that's going to be a close one. Just because...
ICP?
Yes, but also just like that hangover effect where like you get like a super amazing win and you start to feel like kind of content, you know? Like I could kind of see that happening where the Lakers just like destroy the Clippers and then maybe just lay an egg against the Raptors for whatever reason. But yeah, I still think that the Lakers will win the majority of these games and they'll go 5-3. But the good news is they have, you know, some games to play with. They don't have to, you know, win 6 of these 8 games or 7 of these 8 games. They're fine regardless. So that's a good thing. But there is something to be said about having momentum going into the playoffs. So I hope to see things start to click as they go into the playoffs for sure. We already talked about who we would prefer the Lakers to see in the 8th seed. You said you'd want to see the Mavericks preferably. Is that like your most ideal situation for the Lakers?
No. Of course, I would love for the Lakers to see someone like the Kings or the Suns. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to end up being Grizzlies, Trailblazers, or Pelicans. The way they're set up, the talent disparity on the teams, I just think it's going to be one of those three. Especially since Ja's been playing so well, that team is really meshing. Grizzlies are a team to watch for the future. Trailblazers, you never know. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can turn it off, can turn it on, excuse me, at the flip of a switch. And the Pelicans, to me, of these last six or eight teams running for the eighth seed, have the most talent of all the teams, especially with Zion back and healthy now. I think they're the team to watch. So we'll see.
Yeah. I am going to say I would prefer the Lakers to play the Pelicans. I know that it's going to be a tougher matchup. Zion is a handful. But I just think on paper, it's a great storyline because you have the baby Lakers who are growing up. They're in their like adolescent years now where they're starting to get some facial hair and starting to get some acne and rebel a little bit and grow into their demeanor a little bit more. With Zoe and Ingram and Josh Hart. And then obviously the matchup with Zion and LeBron. I would love to watch that. I still think the Lakers would handle them pretty easily. So that's why I would like to see that. But it would be a really fun series to watch for sure. Just because you got the revamped Lakers versus, you know, the Lakers of the last few years. And that would be a fun one to watch for sure. So yeah, with that, sir, anything else you can think of that, you know, stands out to you as far as scheduling or, the playoff run coming up, anything you can, you want to talk about?
Nope. Let's go to our next point.
To close, since there's been such a huge gap in between our last episode and this one, why don't you off the cuff, give the listeners something interesting that has taken place for you this quarantine, whether it's good, bad, exciting, boring, whatever. Give us something.
My best friend Rai Chai graduated college and started working at Taco Bell.
Yeah. That is a good thing, my friend.
Those are both great things. I never got to ask you, do we get a discount on Taco Bell now?
No. While I was in training, I got hooked up with some free Taco Bell just to help us get through training, I guess. But after that, no discount, sadly. But yeah, I'm honored that you chose that as one of your most interesting things that's happened to you during quarantine. It was something that happened to me. So yes, for those of you who don't know, I did graduate at long last. It was many years in the works. And I can finally say I am a bachelor of the arts. I can paint. No, not really. It was a degree in information systems that just happens to be underneath art for some weird reason. And now I'm also working at Taco Bell, supporting the stores and their technology around the nation. Exciting stuff.
Live Moss.
So yeah, thanks dude for sharing that. That's cool. For me, most exciting thing. Well, I should say most interesting thing. I'm going to take it in the direction of a little bit of inconvenience. The mosquitoes are out in full force, my friend, and they have been nipping on my heels literally. And also on the front of my foot. For some reason, they are absolutely...
How are they getting to the front of your foot?
Okay, here's the thing. And this, now that I'm thinking about it, is where I've been going wrong. I've been wearing sandals a lot more.
When do you wear sandals?
I think after like day 55 of quarantine, I reached a new level of giving up on my fashion. And I was like, I don't even want to put socks on. I don't even want to go that far. So I just slipped on some flip-flops and flopped on out of the house. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been getting destroyed by mosquitoes and I hate it. And I had to purchase ointment and I have to put it on multiple times a day because I like to itch a lot, because it's probably one of the best sensations in the world to itch a mosquito bite for some reason. I don't know why, but it makes it
work. Isn't it to scratch a mosquito bite, not itch?
Itch a mosquito bite? Scratch it? Yeah, yeah. What I say? Okay, whatever. Whatever. You know what I mean. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my most interesting thing. On top of having to be cautious about coronavirus, you also got to be cautious about the skeeters, because
skeeters,
they're out for blood. They are out for
blood. Doug Funny's best friend.
Wait, what?
Doug Funny, his best friend was Skeeter.
Oh, from Doug. Yeah. I didn't know his last name.
It's just Skeeter. I didn't know. Does he have a last name? It's just Skeeter.
What'd you say, Doug Bunny?
Doug Funny.
Is that his last name?
Isn't Doug's last name Doug Funny?
That's what I'm asking you. I didn't know he had a last name.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Skeeter's last name. Yeah, Doug's funny. Doug Funny's last name is Doug. I mean, Doug Funny. It's funny.
You're being really funny right now.
I know. But isn't wearing... the only reason I remember Skeeter was because he was athletic and he was blue. And I was like, there's no person blue. Why'd they make him blue? But what I was going to say was, isn't wearing flip-flops freeing? It feels so nice, doesn't it? Your feet are free.
Yeah, they do feel free. I kind of feel like a clown, though, when I'm walking around. I don't know, just like the flopping, and it's really loud. And sometimes I get annoyed at myself. I'm like, I just feel awkward.
Do you drag your feet?
No, I don't think so. But like, maybe it's just the type of flip-flop I have. It just like, the flopping is really enunciated. It's just like, I don't even know how to make the sound. It's just, sometimes I get annoyed at myself. But it is freeing. You're right, it is freeing. Except for when you get, you know,
mosquito bites, murdered. Flops.
Yeah.
Murder.
Anyway, so that'll do it for this episode of Three in the Key podcast. Thank you guys for listening.
Wait, question for you. Are Oreos cookies?
Absolutely. Well, what else would they be?
Some would say they're sandwiches.
People are sick.
Like an ice cream sandwich. It's not ice cream. It's a sandwich, is it not?
Well, yeah, but it's not a cookie. Like, a cookie has a hard exterior. A sandwich has a softer exterior. So, yeah, an ice cream sandwich.
No, what about like a Quiznos sub that you get extra crunchy?
It's a sandwich.
That's a tough yeah, but it's a tough exterior.
But it's not like as tough as a cookie.
Well, what if you get the soft and chewy cookies from Chips Ahoy?
I could be a little bit more convinced if you put something in the middle of that could be a sandwich. Maybe. But
that's what I'm saying.
Lines are starting to blur.
That's what COVID's done. It's the best thing.
COVID's blurred lines?
Yep.
Gosh, I'm scared. What line?
I mean, is my bathroom a kitchen or is my kitchen a bathroom? I don't know.
You know, in times like this, it can be both. Who's to say? Let your truth be our reality.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. That's what I've learned the most of COVID. Don't let the world define you. Define the world.
And if you can't define the world, cancel the world.
Dude, cancel culture has been such a big thing during this COVID right now.
It has.
It's
Everyone's
crazy.
We might get canceled.
Because I know. If we keep talking about being X-Men and cancel culture, yeah, we'll probably get canceled.
Talking about wanting to be in wheelchairs.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll have really cool laser eyes.
Let's just end it there. Let's just end it there.
All right. Laser eyes?
Yeah, I'm laser eyes.
The way you said it, though, didn't sound good. You just said laser eyes, like laser eyes are lame. If you make me say laser eyes like it's cool, then you have to say laser eyes like it's cool.
Laser eyes! Later, guys.
Bye, guys.